Today is Sunday, February 11th, 2018, and this...
We're in Vegas. We got to roll the dice, brother.
...is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 635.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning? Afternoon?
I'm good.
What is it?
Morning. Morning.
It is morning.
Yeah.
All right. We've established that it is morning. Well, good. I'm glad you're doing well.
I'm just amused with Max because we gave him this bone filled with peanut butter and he was looking one side and he's like, oh, there's stuff on the other side too.
Oh, the wonderful discoveries of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll keep him occupied for the next 7 minutes or so before he begins barking at nothing and interrupting the show as he is wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have some stuff to talk about today. It's a big news week and we've got some phone calls and we're going to start out with a little announcement, which has already been announced. So we're not really announcing it. We're announcing it on the podcast for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So each year, typically in October, we have a gathering of Vegas nerds. Most recently, it was called The Summit. And earlier this week, our friend Hunter, the dude largely responsible for making this event happen, announced that we will not be doing The Summit in 2018. Wah, wah. Hunter is a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Yes, he is.
And as such, in his announcement, he pretty much took full responsibility for this since for the decision. But in reality, there were many of us who contributed to this choice. So it's not all on Hunter that we're not doing it this year.
Right. We all decided it would be good to have a break.
Yes. There was a general feeling like, hey, 2017 was awesome. We were all very, very proud of it. And then for this year, we were all kind of so-so on whether we wanted to do it again for a variety of reasons, I think. Some of us have a lot of things going on that would prevent us from putting our full effort into it. And then, I don't know, I just, for me personally, was just like, you know what, I just want a break from it.
I just want a year off.
So we're going to decide later on if we're going to do it again.
Yeah, even though it's incredibly fun and we're always happy that we do it, it's just... The thought of it seemed more daunting this year, and I'm not sure why.
I don't know, but we don't want to do it if we're not 100% into it.
Exactly.
So,
some people are still planning to make the journey anyway, which is great. Mm-hmm. And the D is going to have some promotional codes if you...
Yeah, if you visit Vegas Nerd Summit, there's a promo code for, I don't even know how much off, but to thank us for, to thank our listeners and everybody who's gathered for that event for participating in it for so long. So that's really cool that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Completely not necessary, but very, very kind of them and shows their support of our event for so many years. We'll see what happens after this year. I personally am hopeful that like after a little bit of time off, we're all like completely gung-ho again.
Because
I would like to see it come back.
I would too.
But we'll see where we're at, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily over. We're just not doing it this year. And then we'll see what happens in the future. So that is the plan. The response has been wonderful on Facebook. A lot of people were like... really cool, very understanding, and you know that it's a lot of work and talking about a lot of their memories and the friendships they've made and stuff. So that's been really fun to see, which is great because there were a couple different things I expected. I expected a lot of that. I expected a little bit of complaining, which there has been none that I've seen. People get it, and I was also expecting some conspiracy theories, Well, what's the real reason they're not doing it this year? Because people like to make shit up in their heads. I haven't seen much of that, really.
Yeah,
so.
And don't start.
No need to. I thought about just instead of just being truthful on here.
Yeah.
That you
would make up a reason.
Yeah, Hunter and I had a huge argument. It was just this big blowout, and we can't work together anymore. But that's not realistic at all.
No, Hunter's one of the nicest people in the world. Mm-hmm.
the D in Golden Gate finally told us to go fuck ourselves. Yeah, that didn't happen. No. I wouldn't blame them if they did, but they didn't.
You guys come here and you drink too much booze.
No, they like us. So anyway, thank you for all the kind response and all the really nice words directed at us and Hunter and everybody else who's been involved. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I don't know. I feel like I need to thank other people for it. Not this is necessarily ending, but
right.
Our partners in crime in this event, Hunter, of course, who made it all happen, and Misnomer, who was the just greatest MC ever and had just brought a whole new dimension to the event last year. And then, of course, Dr. Dave and Mike and John and everybody who was there mm-hmm. in the audience. Thanks for making it a wonderful event. And you know what? We might be seeing you again. So
yep.
Time will tell.
I'd also like to thank Megan and Hunter's brother for helping behind the scenes as well.
Oh, yes. There are so many people who contribute to this event. So we'll see what happens next year. But just going to take a little time off and we'll see. Mm-hmm. I was...
And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but I just want to thank everyone.
When Hunter posted the announcement, and obviously we had been discussing it, so we knew it was going to be coming up. But when Hunter first posted the announcement, I did have a little tinge of sadness. I did get a little bit, oh... But then I realized it was like 25% sadness, 75% relief. Mm-hmm. So that's a sign that, at least for me, this was the right decision for this year. So that's the scoop, guys. But, you know, we'll see you down the road somewhere.
And I know a lot of people look forward to it every year. Mm-hmm. And I'm bummed for those people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't even put in half the work that the other people doing the event, and it's exhausting for me. So I think just taking a year off will be good.
Yeah. And then we'll come back and see, and maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
All right. So that's enough about the summit, I think. With that, let's thank a few people. As we like to mention, this podcast is listener supported by amazing, amazing patrons on Patreon, including the following folks: Aaron Wallen, Scott Nash, Jenny Liss. I knew I was going to fuck up this name. I'm sorry, Jenny Listness. Does that sound right? Does that seem right?
I don't know.
Hi, Jenny. Jenny Listness. I'm sorry. I fucked up your name. Nick and Michelle Castle. Attica Prison. One of my favorite names of anyone on here. I like when people use fake names. Michael Ambrust and Michael Schechter. Thank you all very much. We do appreciate it.
Armbrust.
What did I say?
Ambrust.
Fuck. Sorry, Michael. You're special to me, too. I think if I screw up your name, it means I love you even more. Let's say that. I loved you so much, I did not learn to pronounce your name or even read it correctly off this sheet of paper that's in front of me. I suck so bad.
You do not.
Okay, so thank you to everyone who supports the show on a monthly basis. As a result of your support, we throw some bonus content at you once in a while as our way of saying thank you. We're going to do, for some of our folks, we've been meaning to schedule another live stream chat, so I think we're going to try to get that maybe sometime next weekend. So if you're on Patreon and you... are at the, I don't remember what level it is, the live stream chat level. keep an eye on that in the next few days, and we'll get something figured out for the next one. And bring your questions and your stuff you want us to talk about. Visit patreon.com/500 for all the details, and we appreciate everyone for supporting the show. All right, so big, big, big news week. As everyone knows who's been listening to the show, the biggest story in recent history is the Wynn Las Vegas story, the Steve Wynn allegations, of course, of sexual misconduct. And wasn't expecting this resolution this quickly.
No.
Early in the week, a big surprise.
You were speculating that it would take a while and he would eventually be forced out.
Yeah, I thought that it was likely to be resolved if the regulators found something, or the board of directors in their investigation determined it wasn't in the best interest of the company, that they would push him out. And instead, now we don't know how much outside influence there was on his decision, but Steve Wynn decided to resign his position as CEO and chairman of the board at Wynn Resorts. And so that's a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
The new CEO's name is Matt Maddox. He's been Steve Wynn's underling for quite some time.
Define underling?
Huh?
Define underling?
Someone who works beneath Steve Wynn. Oh. I see what you're getting at. That's horrible. Too soon. So what this means, we don't know. In terms of all the stuff that's going on, there's redevelopment of the golf course into the ridiculous lagoon, crystal lagoon, aquatic theme park and bumper car emporium.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, my dream, I've said it on Twitter, but my dream of seeing Steve Wynn in a guitar sweater, a rock and roll guitar sweater on an LED illuminated bumper car will never come true now.
No.
And that saddens me a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. And then, of course, the recently announced plans for the hotel across the street, Wynn West, West Wynn, whatever it is. I'm not going to call it Elon because that was an aborted project. Connected by, of course, an umbilical, air-conditioned umbilical hallway. Mm-hmm. We'll probably never hear that again. Well, we will, but only here.
It's only 100 feet across the street. We're going to connect with an air-conditioned umbilical hallway.
So that's not... I have to continue using that. It's
yes.
My favorite thing this year so far. Oh, damn, Steve. I don't even want to hear your voice anymore. What have you done to me? So there's questions about what exactly will change as far as this redevelopment, if the plans will move forward as expected, or if the board will say, you know what, I'm not so sure about Steve on that one. Let's mm-hmm. pull back. And then, of course, there's a lot of stuff. The big question is, will the company remain Wynn Resorts?
Mm-hmm.
Will the hotel remain Wynn Las Vegas?
Right.
Or will they change that? Obviously, they have some sort of licensing agreement in place for those names, but it's a matter of whether or not they want that name associated mm-hmm. with the hotels anymore. Do you have any... I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't either.
My gut tells me it's going to remain Wynn Las Vegas mm-hmm. and Wynn Resorts, at least for a while, unless there's just a massive outcry, but I don't know. There's other stuff, though, within Wynn, too. The steakhouse is SW.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Wynn's initials, of course. Andrea, his wife. There's a restaurant named after her.
Yeah.
Nick Hissom's. There's nothing named after him. Who? So there's still going to be a lot of things to watch on this story in terms of how it unfolds and what the effects are on Wynn. Will the Popeye statue remain? Of course it will. Well, until they move it to Massachusetts. But I was thinking
headed?
Now how there's such a. An intertwined relationship between Steve Wynn, the man, and Steve Wynn, well, Wynn Las Vegas, the resort, and all mm-hmm. of his properties. I believe some of the artwork there is his and not necessarily the company's. I'm wondering, I don't know how much of it belongs to the company versus him. I have no idea, but is some of that stuff going to disappear? He's still living there for the time being, which is awkward.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But he has a lease through the company, so they'll be... We have no idea what's in the separation agreement, if they've even worked that out 100% yet. Mm-hmm. So there may be, like, you can continue to live here for X number of months, or pack your bags, motherfucker, you're out. I don't know how they're handling all these things, but it would be kind of awkward to see Steve Wynn still wandering around the casino floor. I do love the conspiracy theories. There are some conspiracy theories that he's secretly going to be running the company from behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's happening.
No.
There would be big issues there with...
gaming control.
Gaming control and the SEC and all kinds of things. The board is no longer investigating because he's no longer a board member, so why bother? But the regulators are still continuing to investigate. This still could affect them in some way, especially if the board members knew of things that were inappropriate and didn't do anything about them, and there's all kinds of things that are still going on. But I don't know. This story will continue to play out for quite some time. One other thing I wanted to mention related to this story, because when this first broke, I was very vocal and upset. Like, why did the Las Vegas media not do anything about this?
Mm-hmm.
The story, everybody's saying, oh, yeah, I've been hearing about this for years, and yet they didn't do anything. Well, it came out this week that, indeed, there were several reporters who did pitch this story, did write this story, mm-hmm. and it got shot down. So we're putting it all on the publishers, not on the reporters with this news. The Review Journal reported that under previous management ownership, it killed the story about alleged sexual harassment of employees several years ago.
Wasn't it like 1998?
Yeah. Yeah. They were, pretty bad allegations, mm-hmm. but similar to the things that we've been hearing for the last few weeks. There was another story that came out from a reporter who had pitched the story annually to, I believe, different editors and publishers and got shot down. And so, like I said, as a result, okay. So there were some reporters who were on this after all, and that's mm-hmm. somewhat... good to see, I guess, but it's unfortunate. And I get it too. Obviously, the newspapers or whatever other outlets were like, don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that it works that way. But Steve Wynn,
he was a very powerful person. He might still be.
That's just it. I don't think so anymore. Not as much, but this just speaks to how much sway he had in that city.
Can we talk about the CNN article briefly?
Yeah, refresh my memory. I know I...
It mainly focused on a meeting he had with the dealers to talk about tip sharing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was the Steve Wynn isn't just an alleged sexual predator. He's also an
asshole.
An alleged asshole.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he came into the meeting with vampire teeth.
Allegedly.
And, yeah, he allegedly, slammed his fist on the table several times and was yelling. And
so this is when Steve Wynn
threatened to fire people.
They imposed a policy that the dealers would have to share their tips with management, essentially, is what it had to do with pit bosses and stuff like that. And, yeah, wasn't there a story of one of the people in there said that it was
going to cost her $15,000 a year, and he said if she can't deal with $15,000 a year, she's not living her life right?
That is the allegation in the article. So,
he does not come off... I mean, he has not come off looking good through this whole thing, but... Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a drag. And so then there's this whole larger discussion of how much can you separate... It's the whole how do you separate the art from the artist kind of thing.
Right.
And that's a broad term, but his properties are amazing.
Mm-hmm. So they're designed well. They're customer focused. You get a really...
So yeah. For some people, it's going to be hard to make any separation. Go, fuck, this guy was an asshole. I'm not going into his properties.
Yeah.
Some people probably did that before.
Yeah.
But then, others are going to be like, and I can still enjoy this, even though the person behind it was an imperfect person. We see it happen with actors and musicians and all kinds of things. And it is a hard thing sometimes.
Like the Cosby Show. I love the Cosby Show.
I know.
Bill Cosby, horrible, horrible person.
Allegedly. but yeah, his comedy albums and all that stuff, it was like, oh, can I still enjoy it? It's hard to enjoy knowing the additional story. You know? So
that's all. The sad thing is it's always in the back of your mind. Like, you start to enjoy it, and then you're like, oh, yeah.
It's a weird thing with musicians, though, too, because there are all the allegations against Michael Jackson, and yet a lot of people still continue to enjoy his music. How the hell Chris Brown still has a career after, the photos I don't know if those are allegations or actual, if he was found guilty of, beating up Rihanna, or I don't know where that stands, but the fact that guy still has a career is remarkable to me. It's like, oh, he can sing and dance. It's all okay.
No, it's not.
No, I know it's not, but that seems to be
Yeah.
Anyway, so as far as, that's why I kind of think, and I know we're in a different time and there's a lot of things happening related to the Me Too movement and all that, but I still, I have a feeling that we're still going to see the Wynn name on top of that for a while. And if they're going to change because of this, it'll be very quick. But I think it'll remain that way until there's a business transaction that leads to somebody else owning it. Mm-hmm. Or
I think it's a branding thing, too, because his hotels are associated with a certain aesthetic.
Right.
And I hate to use the word experience, but...
Is it immersive?
It is immersive. And how damaging is this to the brand of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I said, when people go into the hotels, are they going to think, oh, this is a beautiful property, or, oh, this is a beautiful property designed by somebody who allegedly did some really horrible things?
Right, and how long does that last is the other thing. So, yeah. I mean, they'll ride that out if it's likely to only have an effect on the business for a short amount of time. But long term, if it's like people still not coming there 2 years from now, then they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So there you go. Lots of big questions remain, even though the resolution of Steve Wynn himself and his involvement in the company has been decided. We'll continue to discuss aspects of this on the show, like I said, in terms of things that change around the property and what effect it might have on the enjoyment of our listeners in Las Vegas and the things that they want to do there. All right, speaking of immersive experiences, we've been covering this story on and off for well over a year. There was an announcement way back that Venetian was planning on building. At the time, they were describing it more as a theater, but it has become larger. And I think last time we discussed it was when they had said it's going to be like an 18,000-seat arena. But there were still vague details. A lot more details and some cool-ass renderings and videos came out this week of the new arena Venetian and Palazzo, known collectively as Las Vegas Sands, has planned for a couple blocks off the strip behind its properties. This is a partnership with Madison Square Garden, and as a result, the name is MSG Sphere Las Vegas.
Because MSG Ball does not sound as appealing.
That would not sound as appealing, but yes, it is a large ball. It's a spherical, globish orb. Mm-hmm. I think I've covered every word.
Is it a dome?
I don't think it would be considered a dome. I would have a different picture of a dome than I would of a sphere slash orb slash globe.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an 18,000 seat arena, musical and stage performances, possibly some boxing and MMA, but they're not designing this for any sort of team sports like basketball or hockey, like most arenas. So that makes this arena very different from those such as T-Mobile or any of the arenas at other Las Vegas resorts. This is a crazy looking building. It's unlike anything that we've seen on the Las Vegas skyline.
Mm-hmm.
I will post
a
link.
It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. I will post a link to something, a video or a story or one of the many things covering this in the show notes for those who haven't seen it. For those of you who have not seen photos, I will describe it in this way. I was trying to figure out the best way, and I was like, okay, is it like a goldfish bowl turned upside down? Kind of, but not really. I would say it's like a crystal ball with the bottom 25% cut off, and, you know, that part is flat on the ground, and then the rest is a big globey orb.
A globey orb. Uh-huh. Nice.
I know. I really paint a picture with my words. It's going to be 500 feet wide at its widest point, 360 feet high. The technology behind this place is amazing. So it's not just that we've got this crazy-looking globe that's going to loom over the strip, although it's not... like, it's not higher than the high roller, but it's... the high roller is 550 feet. This is 3-something. But it's going to be big. And that's cool. But then the technology on the inside is really cool as well.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like Miley Cyrus. That's really cool.
That's really cool.
Most places, they've got... I'm going to try to find the video that I watched about this, because one of the guys who's designing the sound system discusses how normally the sound is pushed out from the stage and everybody... depending on where they're sitting, they hear the same thing in different varying qualities. They have this sound system where it is much more directed at individual seats and sections of the theater. So every seat's supposed to have amazing sound, but then the other thing is they could do some really crazy things, like different sections of the arena would hear different things. And where this would come in handy, for example, is if they had some sort of an international symposium, somebody could be speaking in Japanese, and if all the people who speak English are on one side, they would hear it in English. All the people who speak Italian are in the middle, and they can do things like that, which is pretty amazing. How useful that is, I don't know. But the fact that you could do different things with sound so that different places in the arena have different effects, it opens up some things that I can't even imagine as far as production shows, where you're hearing different things. Think about this. If you're at a concert, this is a dumb example, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. If you were at a concert and the performer wanted the audience to sing different parts of the song, I'm talking about, they could focus just on one section at a time and mm-hmm. tell them what their part is, and then everybody sings in harmony like a big Coke commercial.
Aw.
I know.
They could teach the world to sing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But it's going to be a neat place.
Yeah.
We were watching, and then the lighting and the... It's
visually... like this whole, is fascinating, and the sound stuff sounds really cool.
They're doing some really neat things with performance spaces in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We still haven't seen the Park Theater, but what they've done with that is cool, and then this just takes it to a whole new level on a bigger scale. The other thing about this is it is a scalable arena, so if they, even though it seats 18,000, they can easily do things so that it's set up more for 4,000, mm-hmm. or I don't know what exactly
like
the ranges
setup.
Are.
Yeah,
and still have the amazing sound and the amazing visuals and all that without just in a bunch of empty seats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to see this arena. They're planning on starting construction in the second half of this year with an opening in late 2020. Where this is positioned, I know we've discussed it before. If you can picture the strip, you've got Venetian, and then the back part of Venetian is the massive Sands Convention Center. And then across Koval Lane from that is a Wynn employee parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another chunk of land, and that is where this is going to be positioned.
So how are people going to get there?
That's a big question. But apparently they have plans to build from the sands can, it's going to be a hell of a walk. If you're like staying at Venetian, you're still going to have a huge walk, but that's okay. Maybe they'll run shuttles or something too. I don't know. But they're going to have a bridge that goes from the Las Vegas Sands Convention Center. It's going to go across. It'll probably be, I don't know. I mean, they come up with an idea.
It's only 100 feet across the street. We're going to connect with an air-conditioned umbilical hallway.
See, there's all kinds of ideas out there for how you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to connect Las Vegas Sands Convention Center across Colville. They'll have an umbilical hallway.
Uh-huh.
That's such a dumb term. As far as getting people through the Wynn employee parking garage, I'm not sure, but, you know, on his last conference call, Steve Wynn was discussing working with Las Vegas Sands, which is amazing because those guys hate each other traditionally.
Yeah, they do.
But they've been talking about some different things. So I have a feeling that they've worked out a deal where this bridge, this walkway will go through or over that parking structure and get people to the arena. They'll figure something out. They'll make it work. So that is the deal there. A couple years away, but it'll be fun to see this thing rise on the skyline over the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to seeing what kind of acts they book and what kind of stuff. I'll be anxious to check this arena out. And hopefully they'll have some great, great bands playing there. Any other thoughts on that immersive experience? Immersive experience was used in at least one of the articles I read.
Mm-hmm.
It's required now to describe anything new as immersive.
Max has thoughts.
Yeah. Can you imagine hearing Max bark with such amazing sound quality? All right. We've got something great for people who are deal seekers on their vacations. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing I think many people will enjoy at the Cromwell. The Cromwell has become a really interesting place. We were discussing this earlier this week. We love the Cromwell.
Yes.
It's a boutique hotel that has a luxury feel if you're staying there. The rooms are very classy. They're very nice. A little bit small, but very, very nice. Very comfortable. Upscale. The casino itself, they haven't necessarily done gangbusters upscale business.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they've decided to take a different turn with the casino. They have really good gambling odds. They have some great blackjack tables and craps odds and some decent video poker pay tables. And they're adding another incentive for people to come there and enjoy themselves. They have a new happy hour from 6 to 7 p.m. daily in the Interlude Lounge. These are wonderful deals.
Mm-hmm. Where is the Interlude Lounge?
It's the lounge in the middle of the casino.
Okay.
Yes, it's on the other side of the main bar. $1 happy hour for Grey Goose martinis and a variety of four different Chirac vodka cocktails.
Yes.
I am in. I'm on board. Just for the Grey Goose martinis. And the cocktails, it looks like there's some decent options there too. But
a dollar.
Just a dollar. Now, of course, if you're gambling, you can get... Although, you know what? If you're gambling, I don't know, the chance of you getting an actual Grey Goose. Usually the top shelf stuff, they don't necessarily comp. They're giving you the stuff off the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? For a buck, getting a decent martini or a decent vodka cocktail, hooray for the Cromwell. I'm glad they're... Hooray for Caesars Entertainment trying something at least one of its properties to appeal to those of us who maybe like a little bit better deal, a little bit better gambling odds. People are very people on the Facebook group are very happy about this news. It's only an hour, but you know what? That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thus the happy hour.
Yeah.
Somebody on the group suggested that this goes very well back to back with the nickel beer over at Flamingo.
Oh dear.
Yeah, you can get pretty shitty in a 2 hour span at those two properties. So I want to thank the Cromwell has begun promoting this, but even before they started promoting it, our friend Subway Mike was in Las Vegas and posted this on Twitter for us to see, and my eyes lit up, and I went, ooh, I like that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, sir, for alerting us to that. So that's, something fun. Some news downtown. There's been discussion for a while that Fremont Street Experience is going to be renovating its canopy, its, what is that thing called, Viva Vision show, which I would describe currently as tired. What do you think? I don't know.
They could stand to do something new.
Yeah. Just like, oh, there's that again.
You have tired ass in the notes.
It is a tired ass canopy show. It probably, for people who are going to see it for the first time, it's still novel. Like, oh, hey, that's an amazing huge screen. But if you've seen it a bunch of times, you're kind of like, meh. How many times have we walked through while there's a performance going on and not even looked up?
Yes.
Many. So
let's get to the next casino or bar while these people are looking up at the sky because
with their mouths open.
Yeah.
So they're going to renovate. That is the plan, at least. They still need approval from the city council because there's some fund issues, some budgeting issues. But what they plan to do, and unfortunately for many people who keep calling for this, they're not removing the canopy. That is not happening. And really, realistically, you know, it still does draw a lot of people, so that's not going away anytime soon. But they're going to upgrade the lighting system, and it's going to have a much brighter form of light that will allow them to do shows not only at night when it's dark out, but also during the day when it is not dark out. I'm curious to see how that'll work.
Yeah.
They're also describing the guy who runs Fremont Street Experience now. He said that they are looking to take what is now a one-dimensional and create a new floor-to-ceiling interactive experience that will separate us from the rest of the world. I bet he's overselling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. Sounds a little immersive to me. But
you like that word, immersive, today.
I don't like it. They're throwing it at me. I can't read anything without it mentioning how immersive every goddamn restaurant and nightclub and arena and everything in Las Vegas is now. It's like ridiculous. Okay, anyway, so in addition to the new lighting, they're planning on doing some things, including...
They're doing some things?
They are doing some things to make it more interactive. He discussed interactive with folks who are hanging out on Fremont Street, according to an article in the Las Vegas Sun. There will be an app. Do you have any apps? Are you aware of what apps are?
Yes, yes.
Would you like me to mansplain apps to you?
I have one called Vegas Mate.
It's really great.
It is.
So it's not Vegas Mate. It's a different app that they're going to be using, and they will have features on there that will allow people to have their personal messages projected on the canopy, which I'm sure they will have some sort of screener so you can't, you know, post a picture of your butthole or something. That would be a bad thing. It'll just force you to get clever with your messages, though.
Yeah.
There are going to be ways to get stuff on there that's just completely inappropriate. You're just going to have to be very, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure someone will be screening them. Mm-hmm. They will also allow people to vote for what music is played under the canopy. You know, you're usually, like Sunday morning, you're walking through and it's usually Sirius XM's Coffee House.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to be like, you know what? I don't want to hear Coffee House. I'd rather hear some Slayer.
A little more upbeat.
Yeah. And they're going to let people vote on that. I suspect it'll be limited. Like, would you rather hear Norah Jones or Michael Penn?
Michael Penn. Norah Jones is fine, but...
If you need a nap.
Yeah.
So...
She's very soothing.
Pending budget approval from the city council, this change is expected to be completed by 2020. A lot of things happening by 2020, according to this week's news. So we'll keep an eye on that. I believe that they're going to be able to renovate this bits at a time, so it's not going to shut down the current show. They'll be able to continue to function throughout the upgrades. All right, there's a new restaurant coming to Palazzo. It's opening in March. It is called Onsa, although everybody's going to call it Once, because that's how it's spelled, much like China Poblano is referred to frequently as China Poblano, because we're in America, damn it. This is taking Emerald Table 10 space at Palazzo in the Grand Canal Shops, and it is going to have Peruvian... It's going to be a Peruvian restaurant with Japanese influences. I have no idea what that would taste like. I'm sure it will be delicious. But that's coming soon. Once it's open, if anybody visits, we would love a review. Please let us know. And finally, before we get to some phone calls, Planet Hollywood has extended the residency of Backstreet Boys.
Yay.
Hooray for Backstreet Boys. Backstreet's back. All right. July, August, October, and November dates have been announced. So if you've wanted to see the Backstreet Boys show at Planet Hollywood, you can do so. It gets the 500 two thumbs up. We enjoyed it a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Big news week. Lots to talk about. That was fun. All right, let's have some additional fun by hearing from some of our beloved listeners.
What's up, Tim? What's up, Michelle? This is Melanie calling from Las Vegas. This is Melanie from Colorado. It is sunny, 70 degrees, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm headed to the Strip for a little run for going to the Colt big game. Did a ton of stuff yesterday when I arrived. First thing, met my buddy Bender at the Hard Rock. We had a drink there, and I broke the news to him that Hard Rock's been sold and will probably be changing, and he's devastated and doesn't believe it. And perhaps he doesn't know one of those, whatever, commandments of Vegas, don't get too attached. But I have to admit, I'm attached too. I've had some great times there, great memories. He said, well, when's the last time you stayed here? I'm like, you know, I used to stay here exclusively. And then I was like, you know, I think it's been like 8 years. So pre-rehab insanity, before it was on TV, the Hard Rock was really the place to be. Just super friendly, fun people, and edgy and cool, and but nice and inclusive. I loved it. And the music can't be beat, and the speakers are great. Anyway, so long, Hard Rock. Dropped him off at Mandalay Bay. I continued on to Ellis Island. We got a hot roll going on the craps table, and then right in the next room, they have really done up their karaoke room, and there was a guy in an Elvis costume doing a great job. So a ton of stuff, new stuff going on at Ellis Island. And now, you know, revisiting that whole Grohler thing, you can buy those. Anyway, so you don't have to win them anymore. What else? They have a really great homebrew root beer to add to their homebrew brews. What else did I do? I went to a really fun place last night. Well, it's the Rush Lounge at the Golden Nugget. There's a band. They say they're the only all-female band in Las Vegas. They've been together for 6 years. They're a cover band, and they are amazing. So check them out. It's a free show. Go to their website, probably Dollface Las Vegas, something like that. I really don't know. But anyway, it was fantastic, really great live music. Definitely lively show. Check it out. Fremont is nuts because it's Saturday before Super Bowl, and I've spent a little more time on the strip just kind of moving around, and it definitely is a different vibe down there. What was that? Fly your freak flag that you just said? But anyway, yep, definitely on that one. I was just listening to your podcast. I love it. You know I love it. And I have to say the thing that I haven't gone to and I really want to go to is AVN, Adult Video Network, which, of course, is at the Hard Rock. I don't know if that's going to happen. So, again, next year. But that's what I want to do. If anybody's been to that, let me know because it looks like a lot of fun. All right. Oh, wait. Adult Video Awards, I think. Anyway, porn star thing.
Yeah,
hope
porn.
You guys are doing well. Bye.
Great porn. Adult Video News. I used to work at a video store. We got that magazine, Adult Video News.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting read.
I bet.
It was a catalog. The thing was huge. You get this thing, it was like perfect bound. It wasn't even stapled. It was like a thick glued magazine, which you could read for hours at a time.
Read?
All kinds of, yeah.
Were there pictures?
Yeah, but mainly of like covers of porno boxes.
Okay, so they weren't too...
They kept you up on all of the latest news and trends in pornography, which was wonderful for a 16-year-old working at a video store. The Hard Rock sale has not happened for sure yet. It's still, you know, they're in negotiations, so not 100% done, but it sounds like they're heading that way. So thank you for that report, and I have no idea what the website is for Dollface, but I'm sure if you search for Dollface Las Vegas, you'll find them.
Yes.
There's a thing called Google. It's very
handy. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Have you used it? Have you ever tried it?
I believe so.
It's remarkable. You put in a common term or a not so common term, and it will give you websites related to that subject.
Really?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'll show you after the show.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you
thanks.
A tutorial.
Yeah, please do.
I'm helpful. All right, next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Steve from Duluth. And the guy that came and introduced myself to you at McCarran after a Christmas trip.
Ah, yes. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Just a couple observations from that trip I wanted to share. We stayed at in a Rush Tower room at the Golden Nugget. Usually we have been staying at in a Golden Gate suite. They're pretty comparable rooms. I'd say probably I'd give the edge to the Golden Gate suite just because of the refrigerator and a little bit more space and a better layout. Also, the last few trips, I've been spending a lot more time over at the Cal. Just super friendly staff, a little bit better comps beer, lots of pie gal tables, and a pretty nice sports book, too. We checked out Ellis Island this time, kind of been hearing a lot about it lately, and I guess my overall impression was it was pretty underwhelming. Not sure what all the hype is about, really. The beer was kind of just okay. Also, we checked out the Orleans for the first time. That was nice and big, lots of good video poker to play, and lower table minimums, too. That was nice. Played a little craps at Downtown Grand. They had a good crew over there, and every time I've been there during the day, it's been pretty quiet, pretty much the only ones on the table, and the crew's pretty helpful. And then one other thing is we tried a new app or new to me called No Wait. Basically lets you virtually get in line at various restaurants. So the place that we use it for was Latai. We used it a couple of days at Latai, and it worked out really good. And I think Nacho Daddy also uses No Wait, so that was pretty handy. That's about it. Thanks for the show, and hopefully I'll run into you out in Vegas if there's another summit. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. It was nice to meet you at the airport. We were pretty sacked out at that point, so I apologize if we were just staring.
Yeah, not very verbose at that point.
We were kind of done, but it was nice to meet you and your lovely wife.
Yep. That No Wait app sounds cool, especially...
We used it.
Oh, yeah.
It was not a long time ago, but a couple trips ago, we used it for the same thing, for Latai.
Mm-hmm.
They had just started. I just read about it somewhere, and it shows you... They essentially paid you via your app when your table is ready.
I forgot that we used it, but yay. Yes.
I think they text you is what they do, but it's very handy for checking in. You can see how long the wait is.
That's a good place to use it for, because the waits can be very long there.
I'm hoping that other places jump on. Right, last time I used it, there were only a couple Las Vegas restaurants on there, but certainly would be handy if a lot of different restaurants jumped on board and started using that. It would save you the effort of having to stand there or go and check in and come back and blah, blah, blah. Ellis Island, I think what the appeal there for a lot of people is that it's certainly a dive, but I think the greater appeal is that it's a budget place close to the Strip. So you're within walking distance, kind of like the Cromwell in a sense, but different. You can get cheap drinks, you can get cheap food, pretty decent gambling odds. That's the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
They have been doing some upgrades. It's not as divey as it used to be. The floor doesn't look like it's designed so it can be hosed off at the end of the night. They have a proper floor in there now.
Yeah.
It used to just be like, at least my memory of it before they changed it was that it was just like...
Like a garage floor or something.
Kind of like that. Yeah, a treated garage, like with the speckles on it.
Yeah.
So they could just come in there with a hose, spray the blood off.
Uh-huh. And other things.
And that would be all you'd need to do. But no, they've been upgrading. In fact, the new outdoor space that they're building looks surprisingly nice. Somebody posted a picture on the... I don't know if it was just a rendering or... I don't know. I don't think it's ready to go quite yet, but it's a fairly nice-looking space.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making some decent upgrades over there at Ellis Island. But yeah, that's the deal. It's a bargain. That's why people like it.
Yeah.
And we've been spending a lot more time at the Cal, too,
which
we've mentioned.
I enjoy the Cal.
Since the renovations, it's like, oh, this is comfortable. This is nice. Mm-hmm. We enjoy playing there. All right. Thank you for that call, Steve. We appreciate it. We'll see you again sometime down the road. In the meantime, let's check in with this person.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Big Lair from Rochester, Minnesota. First-time caller, long-time worker on your podcast. Was in Vegas for a week-long trip over the Super Bowl weekend, trying to maintain my diamond status and activated for the Harrah's promotion for the Quest for Rewards that runs through the end of March of this year. In the promo, if you earn 25 tier points for slots and video poker, you get 200 bonus points. Also, for table game play, earn 25 tier points and get the 200 bonus. So I played triple play bonus 7-5 video poker for quarters. Quickly racked up my 25 points, and then I went over and played $25 by hand. 3-2 blackjack for 45 minutes and received a lousy 22 points. So then I went and played $5 three-card poker for 20 minutes, and the pit boss gave me 55 tier points. So you might want to tell your listeners to evaluate their type of table play if they decide to partake in this promotion. Making a run down to Council Bluffs in Kansas City on an overnight stay. And I'll let you know if the street card poker works out for me. Enjoy your podcast. Take care. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you for the call. So, yeah, I would imagine they would give more points than that because the casino hold is higher on the three-part card poker than it is on blackjack, at least theoretically. The thing to take away from this, in addition to what he said, is Total Rewards offers a lot of promos lately where they have bonus points opportunities, and if you have not given them your email address, I would recommend doing that because you get these things, and sometimes you have to sign up in advance. So I've gotten some where it's specific months. If you play there, they add bonus points depending on how much you've earned. And then the other thing is, too, you might want to stop by the Total Rewards. If you're not getting their emails, stop by the Total. And if you are getting their emails, you're getting like 30 of them a day. They are heavy emailers. It was super annoying subject lines. I will warn you of that. But I just trash most of them, you know, for the room offers, because you can get that stuff just going onto their website if you need it. But anyway, the other thing is, stop by, if you're not getting their email address, stop by the Total Rewards desk and ask them if they have any promotions going on, and you might be able to take advantage of it that way. So there you have it. There are ways to get bonus points, and many people would say that is why the diamond tier means nothing anymore, because they have these ways that other, through credit cards and all kinds of things, where other people other than the gamblers can thus attain status.
Yep.
And then there's too many people taking advantage of it, and then they have to raise the number of points you have to get to the diamond lounges and all that, blah, 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 blah. I just went on a whole rant I didn't expect to go on. All right. Next up, I like these calls. I like when people call and they're just having fun in Las Vegas. This is one of them.
Today is Tuesday, February 6th, and this is Scott in down Fremont Street, downtown Las Vegas. I'm standing at the intersection of Binion's, Fremont, Four Queens, and the Golden Nugget. And I got to tell you,
life is good.
Just doesn't get much better, people.
We're for poor when we're sober.
Yeah, we're not sober. So we'll be calling you back. Love you guys.
And we never heard from them again. So the promise to call back, as with all things in Las Vegas, all plans go out the window after you've had some fun and in
and
their
beverages.
Case, a couple drinks. Thank you for calling, though. I enjoyed that thoroughly. And with that, we're going to end in the same way that we started the call segment, with some thoughts from Melanie.
It's up 5 Monday. It's Melanie from Colorado coming to you again. Super Bowl morning in Vegas. Hey, on your podcast, you guys were talking about the parking fees going up. One thing you can do to avoid some of the parking fees of the M-Life properties, you get automatic Pearl status with a Hyatt Gold status. So if you get the Hyatt credit card, it's free the first year. You get 2 free nights at any Hyatt property. I've done the free nights at the New York City one, which earns about $900 a night on 56th and 5th Avenue, I believe. And also Park Hyatt Beaver Creek, Colorado. Same, $600, a lot, you know, a night. Everything was free with those 2 nights, so it really does pay for itself. And then you get $75 or $100 a year if you keep it, but you get a free, more of a mid-tier Hyatt every, one night stay at a Hyatt every year with that. But anyway, you do get to park for free at the M-Life property. So there's that. As you guys may know, Caesars is doing a status match. If you have a higher tier at other properties, you can get the diamond status, which means you can park for free at Caesars. So check that out on their website. Just a couple of ways. Those fees are driving me crazy. The fees kind of drive me crazy, but the delay in getting out of the parking garage really makes me kind of crazy. Or like you said, the value of vacation time is very valuable. Sorry, that wasn't this is why I don't have a podcast. I can't talk. Anyway, some of us are better to write things down. So what else? Beautiful morning in Vegas. It's really fun to listen to your podcast as I'm pulling up on the strip and parking this morning and heading out to run. So really appreciate what you do. And what else? I think I have one more thing.
I think she's running now.
One more thing. Yeah. We went to the downtown cocktail room last night. Had something called A Whole Lot of Nuttin'. And I don't think their cocktails are quite as awesome as some of the stuff they make at Chandelier at Cosmo. However, the ambiance, the service is phenomenal. I believe you mentioned this before, so definitely do that. The bathrooms are mirrored on the walls. So be careful. We've had a couple. It looks a little weird in there. Great Alice in Wonderland. We also went to Park on Fremont. Set out back. Highly recommend it. Very cool artsy stuff. I'm really into that kind of thing. And definitely check it out. So it's right there just before you get to El Cortez. I guess just west of El Cortez on Fremont. All right, guys. Keep up the great work. Come off. Bye.
All right. All right, thanks for your calls. We do appreciate it. I think we might have another call or two from Melanie next week. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, those downtown cocktail room bathrooms, they can be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. It looks like you can see through them, but you can't.
If you're in the stall, you can see out into the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't see into the stall.
Right. All right. So... before we go, some people to thank. We have a what's being referred to as a catfish donation from Jeff. Huh. Should I tell that whole story?
I think you already did.
No, that was just this week, wasn't it?
I think you said something about it on the last show, maybe?
I think it happened since then.
Huh.
I don't know. There was somebody who made up a whole story that I investigated, and they were catfishing us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, if you're on the Facebook group, you know the whole thing, but Jeff was appreciative of my investigative skills. So I there was some value in watching all those hours of catfish on MTV. Mm-hmm. I was able to do some sleuthing and uncover that this person was not indeed an Olympic skater whose aunt had died in the October 1st shootings. So I'm pleased, though, that I checked and this person's blog and Twitter accounts and Facebook stuff has completely been shut down. So I'm hoping that maybe she thought twice about it and decided, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a dick to her. I was like, I felt bad.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you're doing.
There's something going on there. Yeah.
So anyway, thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it. Ken and Amanda with Karma donation for a 4-night trip, which starts in just a couple days. And it's their first Vegas vacation as a married couple. I hope you survive it. I'm sure you will. They said, thanks, Tim and Michelle, for a great podcast and all the work and effort you put into making it that way. Well,
thank you.
We appreciate you listening, and thanks for the kind words and the support of the show. And finally, a very generous PayPal Karma donation from Kevin and Kay, leaving yesterday for 6 nights. So they are having fun as we speak. Right now, at this very moment, they're having a great time. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. Karma donation for first trip in a year to their happy place. They said, thank you for keeping the Vegas fire burning when work and life keeps us away for too long. Well, I hope that you can get back without it being another full year, and I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Same.
All right. So with that, 500bymidnight.com is our website. You can email if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com, Dear Tim and Michelle in the subject line. And of course, we're both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And our voicemail line is available to you all the time. We would love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. Keep those calls coming. That's it for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back very soon with yet another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.